Horrible, how
I was going to say, I put the DVD in earlier and my computer wasn't responding properly for ages, and I went and left it for a bit and a piece of toast, and 5 minutes later just heard the Dollhouse theme tune start on its own in the other room. Like,
half a deer onwards into the valley of Dollhouse rode the siblings. So we reached the end of series one.
So just, we survived.
Yeah.
Without our minds being wiped in the interim.
But before that, we're going to do our normal chat, recap, reread, Google chat, G chat nonsense from Epitaph 1. Is there an Epitaph 2 then?
Perhaps at the end of the second season?
Yeah, maybe. And just some general ratings and chit-chat of the overall season. So Epitaph 1, we originally watched, looks like 2011 in March, April, May,
June the 21st. June the 21st.
Okay. At 1901. From the top? Yeah, from the top. I always get confused who's saying, even though it says my name. <That's true. laughs> Sorry. All right. Hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey. To be sung in a Bob Dylan voice.
Oh, Bob, is it? I was thinking, hey, hey, in a Swedish voice, like, hey, hey. I have such a strange illness or something. I don't know if it's allergies, like hay fever, maybe. My head feels like it's going to pop. All tight.
Ooh, how horrid.
Still dizzy from this AM. Shall we watch a thing? Stupidly, I just started watching Firefly. But all I've been doing all day is watching stuff.
Well, I'm going to just rustle. No, not rustle. The name. Silly mental autocomplete. Up something involving sardines. Not sure what yet. Rice, possibly. Got distracted reading about the new owners of H2G2.
Oh, who are they, is it? Oh, I know now.
Combination of Robbie Stamp, who co-founded it and was Douglas Adams' friend.
Oh, didn't know that.
Plus a grassroots committee of users called the H2G2C2. H2G2 Community Consortium.
Whoa.
Try saying that 10 times fast. Plus then a tech company all under the umbrella of a charitable trust.
Oh.
Ah, they seem to have some really great visions of where they want to go with it. I hope they managed to make it all work.
Sidebar, did they? No. Not really.
It's still going.
Oh, all right. I didn't know that.
But not... It's, kind of rolling along, but not spectacularly successful, I think.
Yeah. Blime, torture in Firefly. 39 minutes break.
While I go and make. This is a bit of a Rowan special. Sardines, red pepper, tomato, and exotic mushrooms served on garlic rice.
Mm. Yummy. I'm cutting my hair again.
It's becoming a habit, as opposed to a hobbit. You've cut it more times in the last few months than mine's been cut in 10 years. More than once.
Ha. 10-minute break.
Well, did you still want to watch a thing? Question mark. Slash me donates to the Society for Lost and Stranded Punctuation.
Yes. Sorry, Kay.
It's cool, but any later will be too late. So let's do this thing.
Okay, getting other computer. 2 votes for Bookshop Bike Shop in Berlin so far. Okay, disc 4, right?
Yeah.
6 minutes later. God, this is really protracted. It's at 8:30 at night for you. Ah, computer frozen.
Buddy list on my chat thing for you to show this evening. If you hadn't started the conversation, I wouldn't have been able to. Stupid pooters.
Shit it. The disc won't play, and now it won't eject.
Fiddlesticks. Insert IT crowd advice here.
Yeah, except it's Nathan's computer, and he never turns it off, and it has unsaved stuff on. Bugger.
Does the CD thing have an emergency eject paperclip hole?
There's a tiny little hole in it, yeah.
unbend a paperclip, gently prod it in the hole. That should at least let you eject.
Aha! God damn it, I think his DVD drive is bust.
Paperclip, TM. Rescuing stranded discs since 1984. Foo.
Fuck. Unhappy face. It won't read it. Can't put it in mind. The region is wrong.
Ah, bums. I hate that silly region stuff. Ages since I figured out how to make mine non-picky.
Bumholes. I could change this region then and change it back again. It's never been changed, so there will be some left. Man, it's getting late now. Sorry. Bumholes.
I remember, right, it all depends which thing reading the region. Like, if Windows lets VLC read the disk, VLC won't care what the region is because it can just tell Windows it's instantly looking at the data and not playing any video, honest, Gov. But that's from about 10 years ago, so it may not work that way anymore.
Yeah, it automatic fell. Automatically. Turns on some DVD player, unfortunately. I think I've got it working. I restarted it. Phew. Blimey.
But can't you just close that player and use something else?
No, it won't let you. I tried last time. It's weird. Anyway, this one is working now.
Cool.
Ha! Do you have to go to bed now?
No, come on. We've got this far.
Okay, I'm ready.
With the benefit of hindsight, time machine, I'd have put the bins out while I was waiting. But whatever. Right. Want a countdown, or shall I?
You do it.
Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. The Eagle has landed on the rainforest, over.
Is this a different show? Ha. Love their code words.
Barker, point, mother, Luddites.
What the hell is going on?
My friends warned me this show is a bit weird. Basically, this is what happens if you threaten to cancel one of Joss's shows.
Haha. Action heroes. Ah.
They're in the dollhouse. The attic.
What year is the dollhouse then?
Near future, 20-something teen?
The chair. One of my nightmares, to be stuck at the end of the world with some knob like some guy who really winds me up.
Yeah, horrible.
Ooh, they're like no logo, no tech. Wow, that's interesting for an idea of the future. The underground thing is no tech. He has a funny face.
Opium tea!
Hooray! Can she pout anymore? She looks like a duck.
Mr. Pink?
Ah, he's escaped from Reservoir Dogs.
Wow, sulky from the get-go.
Wow, this is how cocky he was in his interview. Yeah.
They steal the brain images from medical scanners? Or did I read too much into that line?
Oh, I didn't understand that.
I may be wrong, just every scanner Rossum makes. Go to the loo with her first, then have a shower together, you noob.
Yeah, first rule of thrillers. Also, never have a shower. People always get killed in the shower, ever since Psycho. It's a rule. See? Tut.
Thwack.
Nice dress. Ooh, Eliza's speaking Russian.
Whoa, she's running both personalities.
How? I don't like this bunch of new people. I don't care about them. It's like an American teen Armageddon film. Question mark? Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark? What? I think the pouty girl might have been one of the Slayer recruits in Buffy. It's Amy Acker!
Hello.
Haha, back to the bush ears.
She's an angel. Is she an angel of light or an angel of death?
Roger! I don't understand.
Why isn't his face all alphaed up?
Yeah.
And Amy Acker's.
Yeah, hmm. Aha! Like replicants. Whoa!
Whoa!
That was unexpected.
Hardcore kiddo.
Good scream. Wow.
What's her game?
This is freaky.
She's programming herself.
What did she do with his body? His hair's gone all crap.
Use it as an active?
Oh.
Put it in storage somehow?
Whoa, neat vodka.
A hard groove drive.
Hard groove? What?
Cut our lines and go on lockdown. Hide from the wireless imprinters.
Aha, all their original personalities are there. Wow, she's left with the arsehole.
Yeah, great. Who is she? Duet? Ooh, new age religion for the survivors.
Mad Toph. She's very motherly all of a sudden.
He's finally disappeared into his own intellect.
Ha, look at all those books. Sweetheart.
She's trying to look after him, poor thing. He's living in a pod.
He's got a septi. Oh yeah, a pod. So ironically, the dollhouse contains the only real people.
Wow, leading from the front.
Eliza!
She broke back into her own dollhouse. How do they fix your face? Oh, it's just to keep the makeup budget down.
Shit, we need to get ourselves backed up.
First I'll save you, then I'll kill you.
That should be sung. First I'll save Wow, then people can time travel.
Led to the promised land by the reincarnated child. She's rigging the booby traps. Sleepy gas.
Where is this?
DeWitt's penthouse.
Oh.
What did she say?
I hope we find me alive.
Oh.
Ha.
Freaky.
How did they know there was a ladder there? I don't get this at all. I hope this isn't the future. Ah, very cyberpunky.
Caroline was leading them out before she backed herself up. Then Whiskey stood guard so that someone could find her and read back the hard disk. So Rossum got greedy and started making permanent clones of people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and what happened to DeWitt? Why was she killing them?
Oh, did Caroline plant her in a baby, do you think? There was a Preggers Wunu in the circle. It all went a bit tribal.
Ah, weird.
I think the thing that freaks me out most is the idea of multiple copies of the same personality walking around. Actually, there's a book I read recently where they can back themselves up. They have duels to the death and only the winner remembers the fight because the other one restarts from the backup.
Wow, that's a good idea. Anything where people are fiddling with your brain is terrifying.
Yeah, fiddling with your you. Right, sorry, I must get to Betty Buys. Catch you later, E.
Yep, see you later. Sleep well.
Transcript ends 22:04 UK time.
Is that a work day?
That was, yeah, I presumably had to get up at like 6:30 a.m.
Why weren't we doing it on a like Friday or something when you didn't have to go?
We were very disorganized.
So disorganized. What was the thing about the baby? We didn't think that this time round.
No, I didn't. No.
Put who in a baby? Eliza? Echo?
Because you don't know who anyone is, because they're all backed up into each other, particularly in this episode. I think we kind of lost track of who, who is...
Who?
Yeah, like Whiskey being just Whiskey, but then the child being somebody... Saunders.
Who's Saunders?
Dr. Saunders.
Amy Acker.
Yes.
Amy Acker, yes. Okay. I thought I was Ditchin for a moment. No, that's someone else. She's called Sierra.
She's Sierra, yes.
She's in it. And Roger. Who's not Roger? He's someone else. Victor.
Victor.
Enver. Oh, gosh.
See, it's quite hard keeping track of who's who.
Yeah.
On the subject of keeping track, to lead into some of the DVD extras and behind the scenes on the series.
Yeah.
I liked one of the things they were saying was the episodes were all filmed out of sequence.
Okay.
Like a lot of the scenes weren't, they didn't film it episode by episode. And particularly Ballard's scenes were so filmed so out of sequence that he kept losing track of what he was supposed to know. Because the whole point, I think, he has quite a long plot arc of getting to know people and know who they are. And so he kept having scenes where having to ask Jask, and like, do I know at this point that she's a doll? Mm. And no, not yet, but you will do in the next scene. right.
God.
I think that's clear.
A nightmare.
Really hard work.
No wonder it's confusing to watch if the actors don't even know what's going on.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a weird way of doing it. This is a very strange, what you realise once watching the sort of commentary that it's like a kind of odd, I don't know, like all kind of like rushed and unknown and uncertain and in weird orders.
Yeah, and I think they changed their minds a lot as they were going along and jigged things around. Joss talks a lot in his commentaries about the network asking him to make changes and make things more dramatic and explain things more, and they in some ways had an idea of where it was going, but then kept changing. That's kind of the worst of both worlds. It wasn't episodic, It wasn't like we've made this episode, it's in the can, and now we deal with it. But it also wasn't properly planned out, and they kept refilming bits and changing the order of episodes and things.
Yeah.
Confused.
So shall we do from, I don't know if you've done this, I've kind of like ordered the episodes of my, like, from my, like my favourites, like from the, so we've got like 11 episodes, including the epitaph one. And,
yeah, at least a list of titles, because
I've got an approximate order of like what I like them in. Maybe I can go through it and you can kind of whether you agree or not. So I've gone from like worst to best. So I said I put at 11 right down the bottom. Actually, the first ones I like the least, because I was like reminding myself of them and just like, yeah, this is the one where Echo is this, and so the first one where she's like Eleanor Penn with the like girl being abducted
and
sort of mafia dudes, that's my, I've put that down as my worst, and I know it's like more terrible than others, but I just did, like, her character to me was just like quite silly, and I'm there's quite a lot of stereotypes as well of like the sort of Mexican baddies, which is just a bit like, and also like just not enough of the things I like, sort of the like Topher and
And maybe they hadn't kind of developed, because they were developing the relationships particularly between the characters. I think some of those happened a bit organically as the series went on. So because they filmed that first episode as like a second pilot in a bit of a hurry, it hasn't got much chemistry to it. It's,
but when they, on the commentary, because there's a commentary on that one, and Joss is like, oh, you know, and you just like really nailed that character. I'm just like, I disagree. Like, I just really feel unconvinced by it. And also just put off by the sort of like that power suit high heel thing, like, and just glasses, and I don't know, just a bit silly. Like, not that it has doesn't have good parts in it, but that's dumb. And then, and the other one is a horrible shoulder to the wheel one with that gross guy that's got her out in the woods, and like, just horrible.
I feel like that,
would you put that a bit
partly
higher?
Suffered a bit from the pacing of the series, but that, yes, the antagonist is horrible, but he's an antagonist.
Yeah.
But it did interesting things with her relationship with Boyd.
Yes, I said that. Yeah, I like that. That's a nice.
And in terms of kind of character development, that was interesting. Yeah, but
But overall, there's quite a lot.
That general problem with the pacing of what story of the week, what relationship, which relationships are we concentrating on?
Yeah, because there's quite a lot, like those first five or four, is it? We're like,
because the other commentary is on Man on the Street, and Joss says like that's almost,
the others were like standalone.
The first of the next, like the third pilot. Was, like, managed to get these first five or whatever it is shown on the network, and they kind of got through those, and it's like, right, now I'm going to really hit hard on the story beats that I've come up with.
Yeah, because those can be fun, those standalone ones, but then it just depends on whether you like what is going on in that episode. And I prefer series where it has, like, you know, your monster of the week, but also this underlying theme, and there just isn't enough of those in those early ones. You're just like, it's just like Eliza being a different character, and then just like little bits in between. They're sort of down there, and then the Blue Skies one where she's like taffy, whatever, where they like break into the bank vault, not the bank vault, the art gallery vault.
Oh yes,
but the good bits in that episode are like Sierra's quite cool. Like, we get Sierra coming out being like a hardcore agent and just really sort of Saki and taking control of the situation, and that's where we learn like Alpha remotely hacks into her whatever they call it.
Yes.
Remote wipes her. Yeah, and she goes into sort of meltdown. That's quite cool. But otherwise, it's so silly. It's such a silly episode. And then I wasn't sure for the next one. So number 8, I think I put like the one with the horses. The haunted one, which is sort of so implausible. Like it's kind of fun, you know, in some ways. And we get like a bit of DeWitt's life and her relationship with her
friend. Yeah, and it's an interesting exploration of the premise.
Yeah.
But yeah, the execution's not great. There's a deleted scene on the DVD of her looking at herself in the coffin, which is a creepy. Because she goes to her own funeral and they have a conversation looking at her own body in the coffin, which is weird.
Yeah, it was just cheesy, wasn't it? Like, really cheesy sort of dialogue and things, I thought. But yeah, the ideas are good behind it, but just the actual like conversations and things, and the creepy son, it's just like really weird. And then I've put, which I did quite like, but I think it's still sort of fairly low down for me, is the one with Patton Oswalt. Who Patton Oswalt's lovely, and he's great, but just that episode just wasn't as, yeah, just wasn't as up there as some others. And then I've put like Epitaph One. I know they kind of had to have it, fine, he's like wanted to like jump forward, and it's not that enjoyable to watch because it's just sort of hurried, and then you've got all these new people that you don't care about and you've never seen before.
Yeah, and quite hard to follow.
Just, yeah, really disjointed. And then I've put the Rihanna one, I've called it, the one with the dancer. Quite good. I enjoyed it. We get like Ditch and
Dietrich. I was going to say, like, we get a bit of really Ditch in that one.
Yeah. And then True Believer, which I quite liked. I quite enjoyed True Believer with the cult. I quite like the cult storyline. What did we say it was like? It's like Waco, I think. Some sort of based on some like real cult situation where they sort of muffed it up because they went in and sort of shot everyone. But that I had that like those sort of slightly like implausible things of her like being blind and like feeling people's faces and going, you know, like really weird stuff. And then I put like Briar Rose, which we didn't necessarily agree on, but I really liked that overall as a well-written episode. And I couldn't decide between these two, but like Omega, amazing, mainly Adam Allen.
Yeah.
Tudyk just being really cool. And Spy in the House of Love, which is the one where we get Wodger and we get Topher and Olivia getting high. That's the one where which is so good. I think that might be my favourite episode of the series. It's just so fun, but it's also got a lot of like plot development and like heartfelt moments.
Yeah.
Yeah, so between those two, I would say I think I would put Spy in the House of Love as my favourite, personally.
So the interesting thing, kind of pattern I noticed in that, which I think I agree with, is that the ones that work best are A, where the mixture between Monster of the Week and ongoing plot line is well balanced, and also where the engagements are more character driven rather than action driven.
Mm.
Ones like the heist and things like that, where it's fun in its, those things can be fun in their way, but it's different than a series.
Yeah.
It feels like quite an old school, it's that kind of time tunnel that I've stumbled on occasionally on Lowdown, some cheap channel at the moment has time tunnel on from the 1960s or something.
Okay.
And they're, it's kind of a bit like Quantum Leap, and they're stranded jumping around in time, but they kind of turn up at Custer's last stand and have to fight in the battle and things, and it's all very cheesy and over the top. And some of the action engagements in this felt a bit too much. And that's possibly why that very first one doesn't work as well, that she's not relating to anybody. She's just a hostage negotiator. Yeah, it's an interesting premise that she could be a hostage negotiator one week and
somebody carrying out
an art heist the next. But it's not as interesting as her going into a care home and helping somebody, or her infiltrating a cult by temporarily being blind, or there's... Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit... The robbery and the heist and the ransom, they're like kind of cliched things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we've seen lots of times those kind of situations.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay. But yeah, the more interesting.
And where the power of having the, you know, bringing out the face and, you know, having her be hardcore is more powerful when it happens in one scene when something's gone to pot and it's sudden, than her just be hardcore all week.
Yeah.
As well. So if she's, you know, trying to help someone and then Ballard turns up and she has to fight him, it has more impact than if she's in character as a ninja all week and then ninjas someone, you know, okay. It's not quite how it was, but that's kind of the more action there is in the episode, the less impact that action has, because you're just one fight after another, or
agreed.
Can see it coming, which is interesting from some of the behind the scenes stuff. That, as I say, just saying the network kept telling him to make it more. They wanted it more in more. More action. And from what he was saying, and you never know whether he's telling the truth and remembering right, but his original conversation with Eliza was much more emphasis on the character-driven episodes and those aspects. And so it's interesting that those did work better.
I didn't realize I'd made some notes on the different episodes when I was going through them. only little bits, but just to remind myself of the things that I liked or didn't like. noting like Topher's outfits. There's some good. There's like amazing like brown tank top with a mustard shirt underneath right at the beginning. Just one of my favorites. He talks about the pod, the sleeping pods, and how he was influenced by some like Chinese architecture where they're like sleeping in like these kind of like recessed things, I suppose.
Yeah.
And having some problem with like how to film it, which I didn't really understand. in that first episode, so some of the questions that we put up that we sort of haven't answered, maybe we could look at like some of the things that we were like, oh, what? So in that very first episode, I don't know if we talked about this, but just sort of skimming it again, there's a scene we see Alpha naked sitting on a coffee table watching the video of Caroline and dead people around. And on the commentary, Joss is like something about it being her parents. So did Alpha kill Caroline's parents? Is that who they are? Because that is never explained.
No. And it's all a bit confusing who is leaking which bits of information, because there's the bit halfway through with first name, last name being an NSA agent or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's also Alpha out there doing stuff, and it's not really clear who's leaking what and to who and...
Why, as well?
Why, yeah, what?
Because Alpha in that scene, so who are these dead people? We don't know. And he is putting something in an envelope addressed to Ballard.
Yeah, so he gives Ballard...
the video of Caroline.
Photo or the DVD or both?
Yeah, because he keeps getting that same DVD out of Caroline at the university. Which, why? Oh, I guess we don't know yet. I hope it's going to be resolved, but we still don't know.
Yeah.
What her
I don't know whether it's... Yeah, it's a bit odd that some of those things weren't... They weren't called back clearly enough to tie them together to who was doing what.
No.
It can be quite hard to do, because I also hate the clunky attack. Well, it was me who sent you the thing because I was going to do this and then this, but I had to do this first and then this happened, and that kind of explainer at the end. So maybe he didn't want to do that at the end, but also, yeah, when Alpha does show up, it's not really clear what he's been doing all this time, where he's been, how much influence he's had. He just turns up and also is wonderfully mad.
And if he's killed people, how... someone on the trail of that? Like, why isn't Ballard on the trail of that, of the people that he's killed? Like, why wouldn't it be like someone in the FBI is like, we're on to this person, we don't know who they are, but they might be like a spy or someone because we can't catch them, and like people are just dying mysteriously and surely?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You could maybe have quite fun have inventing alternative versions of this series with different different decisions. Because with that, you could have made Ballard's relationship in the FBI a bit less two-dimensional. Loomis, the woman that Ballard works with,
in
the club, whose name I wouldn't have remembered except I just watched the extras. She's not really anything to do with anything. But if she'd been trying to track down a serial killer, and then they'd happened to stumble on a connection, and didn't quite understand the connection, but they kept coming upon the same leads they kept coming upon a lead for the dollhouse, but Alfred got there first and murdered the witness. That would have been an interesting thing, because he was going around crazying or whatever he was, it wasn't really clear what he was doing all this time. Was he just lying low? Was he the one sending all the messages? Was he on
how
a killing
long was
spree?
He that pretending to be that guy in that weed place?
True.
And what happened to him? Did he kill him?
Yes.
And was he the one who made the dollhouse? Alpha killed the person who made the dollhouse and then pretended to be him? Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Somebody who...
Someone... In the dollhouse, how did they think?
But I think that was possibly just his way of getting in that week. I think that was his week's plot.
Yeah.
And every week he's been doing different things.
Oh. Okay.
Being different people.
Okay. Yeah, because right at the beginning he's remote wiping Echo, but then he doesn't seem to again. So why did he do it that once? Is he just like testing out what he can do? I hadn't really thought about that.
Yeah. Well, that leads into the remote programming technology in the epitaph, which possibly...
And in the one with Melly, where they like, there are three flowers in a vase.
Yeah. But interestingly, in the pilot, one of the scenes in the original pilot, which... had a lot of scenes that were reused spread through those later episodes. We kind of developed the plot much faster. It kind of like threw it all out there rather than spoon feeding it. But there was a line in there that remote wipes were a thing, which I thought was an odd, any interesting difference that had that pilot been aired, it wouldn't have been a surprise to have a remote wipe. Because Topher actually mentioned a remote wipe in the pilot, which is,
yeah, because
very
they know
different
they can
from
do
how
it
was presented. They were kind of like, "Ooh, a remote wipe." We weren't,
But then how do they?
I think Topher has a line where he's kind of like, well, I thought that was... No, but that's more...
Hypnotism.
She's not wiped. She's...
No, that's true. She's been
It's more
trained.
Like kind of hypnosis.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
got a... She's got a trigger. There's also a deleted scene where Alpha uses that trigger on her in the very last episode, which is quite cool.
Mm.
He gets away by starting to say her trigger, and she freezes because she's waiting for the trigger word, and he runs away while she's
I've always been curious about whether that actually works or not. And I've heard interviews with Derren Brown where he sort of says you can do it, but it's not like those people aren't kind of like under all the time. It's more like a sort of you set up this kind of suggestion for them, I think. I don't know.
I don't think
it's like they're out there kind of under a spell until you say the word. I don't know. I'm not sure it could be just like hearing it on a phone. I don't know. Maybe it could. It would have to be quite soon, but it could be because she could have just been in the dollhouse because it could be quite soon after. Because I don't think you could just be like walking around for like days.
No.
Yeah.
That's true, yes, because she may not actually sleep in the in her apartment every night. She may be picked up, taken back to the dollhouse, and Ballard doesn't move in with her, so she can be going to work and actually go to the dollhouse and have her imprints refreshed. I didn't have time to have a look at the pilot, but I was interested in what was in it and how it differed from, you know, what was already there in that first version of the pilot and what changed when they
reorganized it. You've got a whole other character that doesn't come into the rest of it.
So they had a whole sequence of engagements to give the idea of, she's a different person. And so they had kind of quite a quick fire thing. But interestingly, there was a mixture of the kind of altruistic going out and helping somebody and the frankly quite sleazy rich people getting their desire. So there's one where she's like rescuing a girl from a pimp and like getting her out
that
of
bit.
But then later there's like the next scene is her at somebody's wedding being somebody's date just to show up the bride because she dumped this man. It's like showing her up at her own wedding.
Oh God. Kanye West.
But it was interesting that both those were in there, and then there was a scene that weirdly there's even like alternative scenes for the pilot. So they eventually canned the whole pilot, but there's also deleted scenes from alternative versions of the pilot on DVD, which is a bit confusing.
Okay.
But there's a scene between Topher and Dr. Saunders where she's the one who advocated for these pro bono altruistic engagements. So that's an interesting...
DeWitt?
Amy Acker.
Ah, okay. That does kind of fit with her personality. Saying,
yeah, so she's saying, no, there's... And with her thing about so that thing in Needs, where it's like, well, no, we need to give them fulfillment.
Mm.
And so she's like, no, we send them out. Yes, sometimes they're hired out, but we can also use them for good. And that will be good for them as well. And it's better for their constitution to have these. And the other thing that came in there, which I don't remember particularly being mentioned explicitly, or maybe it was early on, I've just forgotten, but Ballard having recently divorced. And in the original pilot, Caroline goes into his flat in character as an engagement. In the very first pilot they meet and she's in his flat and spots this and she's like, your ex-wife, and he's like, how did you know I was divorced? And he says, there's a photo of your wife, but a whole load of mess. Like, you're clearly...
Didn't that come into one of the episodes? Yeah, it was a bit confusing where, like, they had some kind of sex scene, but it was it a dream or something?
That was possibly a dream, but yeah.
Yes, it was a dream. It was a dream, yeah.
But yeah, in the pilot, she shoots him.
Wow.
And...
As an actor.
But, yeah, but she's been sent to kill him and then doesn't because he says, Caroline? And she's like, am I? And then... and then, like... doesn't kill him.
Okay.
But yeah, it's interesting. One of the things that I can see why they thought putting off that meeting made a better pacing.
Yeah.
But one of the things that it would have done is made his obsession over her make a bit more sense.
Yeah, because we just don't know.
Because
why.
he gets a photo and just kind of, and a video.
Yeah.
And just latches on.
Yeah.
And it feels a bit obsessive.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly at the beginning when he doesn't know anything about her, but he gets immediately obsessed with her.
Yeah.
Whereas had that scene stayed as the first episode, he's been sent the photo, then meets her, and it's but and so she is his proof that it's real because he's seen her as an active,
yeah,
but then lost her again, and that's why he's hunting her for the rest of the season, and that kind of gives him a bit of a better motivation,
like you say, like with Ballard, that because that can work, but it is more interesting if it's not just like some man that's just obsessed with a woman, like a
it does
woman,
it does just
like,
feel a bit. Yeah.
Why?
A bit like, pervy the way he does it. It's just kind of
the whole thing is very pervy.
I don't think was the intention. It just
no.
They didn't give him a better motivation to explain why he's it was.
And actually, having put this quite low on the list, that was quite well explored in that Patton Oswalt one where they have a confrontation, Ballard and him, and the Patton Oswalt character is like, well, why are you the hero? Like, you're just obsessed with a woman in exactly the same way. Like, what makes you better? And that was quite, I like that they put that in. And they do kind of like call him out. And I thought it was interesting that, like Joss said in the commentary a few different times, that there were scenes where that he wasn't happy about, like, his thing is having women kind of emancipate themselves and not having like a man rush in and be the hero.
Yeah.
And kept doing that and saying, like, wasn't really happy with that, but you can't always do what you want. Why can't you do what you're writing it? Like, I didn't really get, like, why. So there's like a scene where the one with the, which wasn't the best handled, with the guy that's raping Sierra.
Yeah.
And then in the end, it is Melly who takes him out. So that's quite not good, but, you know, like, more interesting. But Boyd comes in and kind of like saves her in the moment.
Yeah.
And he said on the commentary, like, that's not really what I like to do. I'm not happy with that. Like, the man coming in and like violently and in a macho way, saving a woman from violent and macho behavior. Like, that's not what I'm about. But you can't, like, sometimes you have to just like advance the plot or whatever. But like, yeah, I feel, and that makes me question, like, writing a lot of the time, like, when people talk about, like, writing in TV and, like, well, this is disappointing that, you know, and therefore it shows that this person wasn't really, like, switched on to, like, these considerations. But I think a lot of things, you just forget that that doesn't mean that that's what they believe, like, overall. It's just, like, it's
no.
so complicated and there's so many... like
no and the environment they're working in and who they've got what they've got to
not to excuse things
figure
you
out.
Know like
no,
lazy
I mean,
writing but yeah
minds you can do better
yeah
but yeah that... it's like watching films sometimes, kind of like that scene just didn't, you could just have explained that better. It didn't quite make sense. And it's just, yeah, it's not that they wanted it to be bad. They didn't manage to come up with a better explanation.
But sometimes you do feel like things are lazy, where you're just like, you're just falling onto stereotypes, and you could easily just not like, just don't. That generally doesn't do that too much this series, but sometimes just with like gender things, and also like racial, the stereotypes, like with the like Mexican mafia kind of thing, it's just like a shame to see like Mexican characters always being portrayed in that way. Like, that was a bit disappointing.
And the gender mix is interesting, so you've got DeWitt, who's very powerful and cool, and you know, very
complicated, layered.
Yeah. And that's right. But you've then got all the handlers and security types and things like that we meet are all men. So you've got Boyd, you've got first name, last name.
Yeah.
You've got Ballard on the opposite side, and they're all, there isn't anyone on a rank with them with a different, so you know, Boyd has compassion, but he also goes hardcore on people when he needs to. And it's kind of, it's interesting that we don't see much exploration of what a different approach to being a handler. Is that violence always the right answer? Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, because there was one woman. She just got killed, didn't she, by Echo, I think.
Yeah, we can briefly see a few other handlers here and there and don't get to know much about them.
Very nice, generally, seems. They just do their job and don't really care. And
I guess was a deliberate, that, you know, Boyd's kind of a bit of an odd one out, and most of the handlers, and that comes up and down, and the handlers are kind of like, well, of course, that's our job. We're looking, we're driving around and protecting programmed people. We're not kind of weird, morally compromised.
And he plays it so well. I don't know if it's just like how the actor is, because I've never seen him in anything else. But he brings this thing, like, he could just be like really just, just sort of army type, like macho-y, even with the lines he has of like, caring about them and things, he could still be just sort of a bit like brutish. But he's so sort of gentle somehow, even when he's like, he does like violent things. But you still just like, he's like a sort of teddy bear. Like, I don't know, something really like soft.
He feels
like
genuinely protecting you, even when he's kind of, when he's violently protective.
He's got a very comforting,
you get the protective vibe off him.
I don't know if that's like the actor, like his voice is very comforting as well, and he's just like lovely. He's just really,
which I guess makes him quite a good contrast to DeWitt, who's so ice cold. And has complications, but keeps them buried as much as possible. Whereas Boyd is kind of forever conflicted about his role. And
I didn't like that, and I don't know where they're going to go with it in the second season, or if they're going to, but I found that, that's maybe why I found that unsettling, that in the epitaph, like, him and Whiskey are like together, considering she's a doll. And I get like what you were saying, it's like, well, they're still a person, and that's the person she's kind of landed on, and he's a person, and why shouldn't he have, like, you know, obviously has feelings for people, but that takes away for me him being just like a father figure, and like just being a gentle, like, protective, like, because then it makes him like sexual in a way that, like, I find disturbing. Like, I don't want him to be in that role, even with it, with any of the, like, she's a doll, like, still, like, even if she's like landed on that personality or whatever, but like still, I don't know. I didn't like that, but I don't know where they're going to go with it. Like, I want to see him obviously have like some personal life, but there's enough of that already in it. Like, people perving on them all. Like, I just, not that he is, but you know what I mean? I just want him to be not that.
Yeah.
Don't know. It just depends what
possibly
they do with it.
What they were trying to get at with that was that by that point in time, they'd ceased to be just the dolls and had become more people.
Yeah.
And obviously particularly Whiskey, because she's been in that thing. So in some ways, I get what you're saying. But there's also a way you can read it as quite empowering. That actually, it's like what you're saying about women have to be having to be rescued by men. That actually, if you carry on just going, well, they're dolls, so we're not allowed to, you know, we have to carry on being hands off, we have to be parental.
Yeah.
Then that's
sort of infantilizing them.
Infantilizing them, yeah. It's like, well,
yeah.
Actually, if.
But still, you guys, like, have like, a. But.
They can have their own, if they.
Yeah.
If they are no longer fully blank.
Yeah, true.
Then they have their own feelings, and you've got to give them free will over what relationships they go into.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, if Whiskey's reciprocating.
Yeah, and it was kind of.
It would be patronizing of Boyd to go, well, I can't possibly because I know you're not real. That could be seen as more patronizing.
It was like signposted a little bit because they're both like questioning DeWitt and Topher, and like constantly all the way through, like both of them are like.
Yeah.
You see scenes with them when actives come back where they're both like, this is not good because they're. You know, they've been hurt and they're both kind of speaking up about it. So that makes sense in that way.
It was in one of the commentaries, I think, that Joss said, people ask, are Topher and Boyd friends?
Yes,
said, I'd rather. Topher would say yes, Boyd would say no, and they'd both be wrong.
Yeah. He doesn't really have friends.
No.
He has Ivy, and then he programs Sierra on his birthday to like hang out with him, but that's like the closest he gets to people, which is really sad. Yeah, he's a lonely soul. And then that like that makes it so touching, like his breakdown, and then DeWitt like looking after him because she's been so cold, he's been so kind of detached, and it's just like, oh, makes it very emotional. Moments like that, I think, bring it up, like elevate it, like the real sort of heartfelt moments. And a lot of the kind of like action-y things, like you say, it depends what you want, like, because I feel like some people, like, that's what you want from a show, and that's fine. And,
yeah,
you know, like choreographed
and that's possibly
fight scenes
why he was getting
and,
that push from the,
and I do
the studio to
get it, like, it's not, but I just. For me, like what I like is the sort of emotional drama bits and sci-fi that like it's the like possibilities of like what can we do and what should we do and like how where would this lead to, all those questions are just really much more interesting.
Yeah,
but we still don't know what the mountains were like, because I rewatched that again. I was like, hey, did we miss something? So there's a beginning of what episode is it? Because it just doesn't refer to it in the rest of it. So episode 4, the one with the, where they're breaking, with the taffy breaking into the art gallery or whatever. It starts with her Echo as a midwife in the mountains. And it's just never referred to again. And none of the other episodes do that, where they just flash to her doing something else at the beginning that is then not in the episode. And never is referred to again. Because she has a moment again where she's like all confused. She's like, she goes into a kind of like flashing to her different selves. But why show that? It's so weird. Just, yeah. Don't know if there was a lost bit, but I couldn't find any reference to it.
It is odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can't shake the feeling that the series should have been twice as long.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't think that was literally. I don't think they were terminated early.
Just got lost.
But just in terms of how many ideas they wanted to fit in and plot threads that they started and didn't pick up again.
Mm.
It just feels like, yeah, a lot of the episodes. Because I think you were saying that we don't really agree on the Briar Rose. I think the thing that frustrated me about that episode is it should have been two episodes.
Yeah.
There were lots of interesting things happening in it.
Just didn't cover it enough.
But they didn't gel for me.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to like cross-reference them and it didn't work. It just meant that they were both rushed.
Yeah.
Because we were introduced to Alan Tudyk.
Mm.
And there was this whole really interesting engagement with the...
Which didn't really link.
...thing, which didn't... was an interesting idea and could have had some other ideas around it.
Yeah.
And developed some other people's reactions to that engagement could have been an interesting way of developing other characters and, you know, something could have happened and they could have talked about the fact that Amy Acker wants the pro bono... engagements, for instance, that could have been an interesting plot line to bring in there. But instead we get it jammed up against the introduction of Alan Tudyk, which then feels that, like, that's rushed because he's been built up as this big villain and he's amazing. But we only actually get him for 1.5 episodes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's either off screen.
Yeah.
The person sitting on the bed naked, sending Ballard the envelope. Alan Tudyk hadn't even been hired yet.
Oh, really? So it isn't him.
It's an extra filmed from, but or he'd been hired but wasn't on set because it was just that one scene. So it's an extra who looks like Alan Tudyk or looks like who Joss was hoping to cast, filmed in shadow so that you can replace them later.
Just a muscly man.
There's
a lot of muscle in this.
Yeah.
even Topher's muscly. As we said, like, is he too muscly for someone who's always inside in a kind of sitting behind a computer?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem to get any exercise.
He's been working out on his whack-a-mole game.
Mm. Yeah, because he doesn't have any like weights or anything in his area. He's a trampoline.
One of the scenes that I don't think got reused from the pilot has him going round. He's got loads of different chess sets or with games in progress that he's like playing against himself. So while he's talking to Boyd, he's wandering around the room making moves on loads of different chess sets, and they're all completely...
Yeah. Top Topher moments. When he's high, when he's playing laser tag or whatever with Sierra. When else do we have? When he's like obsessing about Takeo Hashimoto or whatever, like stealing his ideas. It's quite funny. Where he has his breakdown. Oh yeah, we didn't get any, because we thought there's something between him and Whiskey. And that hasn't been explored. So that's why, I mean, as well, like, why is she with Boyd? Like, there's obviously something between her and Topher, but that hasn't seemed to play out. I really hope that some of these are going to be answered, because it's going to be really frustrating when it's just like they put things out and then it's just like, oh, well, you didn't wrap that up. Because it's okay to have the big things as question, because obviously there are no answers really. Like, you know, what is it all about and like who's the
best? Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. But like, yeah, like, is that a thing or... Otherwise, why did they put it in? There must have been some intention.
Yeah. And there's an alternative dollhouse that, imagine.
Yeah.
If it had been him and Ditch and Lachlan.
Mm-hmm.
As kind of co-leads.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Because some of their characterization and...
Yeah, so good.
And their chemistry together, which
exactly, because you could have that
develop well
as the underlying thing. And then you could still have like Eliza. Eliza could be the one, not a doll. She could be the one that's like outside trying to uncover rather than having like Ballard. You could have her as like this kind of activist who's like heard about the dollhouse and is trying to find a way in. That could be cool. What do we hope or imagine is going to be in the second season then? Have you what How much have you watched of it? Because I haven't. I think I
So
watched
we're, I
half of the
was
first one at some
going
point,
to say maybe
but I don't
two
remember it.
episodes or something like that. I don't really remember.
So I am hoping, what I hope and what I imagine to it to actually be like probably going to be different. What I would hope for is that, so where it's left is we've got them all, well, we've got the one group escaping out of the penthouse window on the rope ladder, and then we've got Victor and Sierra, or I can't remember what their real names are. Anyway, them, they're going off together separately, right? And I presume Amy Acker is now dead.
So I think the second series is filling in the flashback bits of that epitaph rather than carrying on from it. So where that's off in the future,
Oh, okay, cool.
it's
That's
like, here's
good.
a glimpse of the future,
So now we're going
and
to
then season two
see
is
how
how
we
did
get
we get
there.
there?
Oh, cool. Okay, that's good. Because then we're going to
So hopefully
see
we do get a bit more idea of how those
it
relationships
all
develop.
breaking
And
down. And so that's kind of the end.
we've got Ballard
Working for
being
them.
brought on staff. So you've got Ballard and Boyd both on the inside with Caroline, who is increasingly aware of being Caroline and
And then
being
Ballard and Caroline
Echo.
are kind of in cahoots of trying to like bring
So
him
yeah, so we
down.
get to find out how that develops, who knows what.
And then Rossum getting increasingly like greedy and strange, and DeWitt going, I don't agree with this.
I think we have to find out more about is, what are Rossum up to, and what are the other dollhouses, and
Oh, yeah.
what's been going on.
And first name, last name coming back? Or, yeah. And
But
yeah,
yeah, so
we'll see how Boyd and Whiskey, like what how that develops
indeed.
as well, how that happens. How Victor and Sierra, how are they like, did they get more, like how did that happen? Like, did they get their own personalities back somehow, or because presumably their time would be up as well, because they're only supposed to be there 5 years.
That's true.
So perhaps they got were about to be let out, and then I don't know. Or is Rossum not letting them go now? And then because there's also the leak, like so everybody outside is getting programmed, is that it? Like remotely wiped, like in mass, en masse. It's weird.
I wonder if we'll get what they'll do with Ballard's character, because as I said,
He's least interesting. Like, we don't
because
need him once he's in there.
that's it. I
Because
like the actor partly just
she
because he's
doesn't
very
need any
hunky,
help.
but
He's the only
he's
guy.
not a bad actor, but
No.
the characterization, the motivation was thin.
But maybe we'll find out
And now that he's
more.
on the inside, what is his motivation anyway? And
Because like Caroline
to get a bit more depth to him, that would
doesn't
be
need his
good if they
help.
can write that.
Like she, unless she does, like because he's got FBI connections, perhaps. I don't know.
Well, I think his options were, I mean, if it was more fundamental blackmail than that, it was, we can't let you leave here alive, but we can give you a job.
And what about Alpha? Is he going to get
Too much.
killed?
Who?
Alpha. Has Caroline killed him?
So Alpha, no, he escapes.
So we're presumably going to have some Alpha then in season two.
Yes, yeah. Where does he end up?
Da, da, da. Something to look forward to. Yeah, all our favourites are going to be there. Like, I don't think anyone's going to not.
No, I think because he persuaded them to let Melly back to real life early.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So will she come?
But she was your least favourite character anyway.
Yeah, she is a good actress though. And like her character, like Melly was annoying, but her, as herself, I think she probably wasn't so annoying. It was just that Melly was irritating, and she was supposed to be, I think, not irritating, but she was supposed to be sort of vulnerable and. But yeah, do you think she's not going to come into it then? Because she's out there. Maybe she won't.
Yeah. And maybe we'll meet some new people. Because another thing...
New handlers, maybe.
With the writing that always gets complicated, like having the pushback from the networks and the producers and whoever, is the casting isn't always straightforward for a second season.
Yeah.
But some characters that you want back become unavailable at the crucial moment, and you know the key cast, you just kind of go, well, we can't do it without them.
Well, but they tie some people in because they're like, we've booked you for two seasons, you kind of have to do it.
But some of those like Melly may not have that contract, and say if she wants to do it, they might write a piece part for her, or
they must have like booked Alan Tudyking because that would be a nightmare if like he couldn't do those bits.
Yeah.
It's like not one person has a pronounceable name. It's just like, or they're just like weird, like Miracle. Is she really called Miracle? I guess it's her acting name. She's got a ukulele cover band that she formed with her husband. That's cute. Yeah, I think that's all. I don't think I have. Have we anything we didn't talk about over the?
Just one other thing on the one of the commentaries that I wrote down that I thought was interesting was Joss talking about it's all about playing out. You know, Dollhouse like playing out fantasies, and the commentary is on the episode of the like people in the street giving their opinions, and he talks about there being the client fantasy and the doll fantasy. That actually, as well as the wish fulfillment thing of being able to program a doll, for some people the idea of being a doll is actually quite appealing. It's that you can just be programmed to be
the eternal sunshine,
a perfect person, and guiltless because you do it and then are wiped again at the end of it. And
well, just to forget as well, like that's why the people in there are they like to, because they've had some kind of traumatic thing. Yeah. Would you be a doll? No.
No.
Terrifying.
Terrifying. Not knowing who you are.
Yeah. Really terrifying. But then a weird bit of me... Although it is terrifying, a bit of it kind of appeals to me in the sense of like, sort of interesting. And then also like, you just get like a shitload of money and your life was kind of bad and you were just like, fine. Don't know. Don't think I really would, but like I can sort of, yeah, it's like intriguing. But more like weird to me, the idea of like, the people that like hire them, that I just find really strange and really hard to get my head around. Just like knowing that they've been like programmed to be someone, I just think that's really weird.
Yeah,
that people can do that and sort of justify it and feel okay
think
with
it's
it. And
some of the more interesting ones are where they're hired to help someone else, even in icky ways, but sound like, she really needs bringing out of herself. I want to hire a boyfriend for her, or even something like that. There's something,
like,
there's then a kind of different dimension to it, even when the engagement itself has that moral thing. It's like the selfishness of some of them, and the knowing that you're doing it for yourself, for fakeness, is
very weird.
That would require, and you know, probably the, it would require quite a strong ability to dissociate yourself. Whereas you're buying it for somebody else, you can kind of almost believe in it.
Yeah.
Believe in tricking them.
Yeah, right. Well, we might have to leave it there.
So,
we still don't know what's in the tea.
No.
But it's coming almost every episode.
That's our hope for the next season.
That we meet
Find
Judith.
Find out what's in the tea. We meet Judith.
Judith
came in the pilot.
Did she? What, you
I mean,
see
not came
face?
In it, but no, but,
oh, they talk
but was
her.
Named in the pilot. Do it.
That's brilliant.
Do it. It's like,
who is she?
Judith. I thought I told you not to put any calls through.
Oh, Judith, do your job. Maybe Judith is actually a mastermind behind everything.
Yeah.
Judith is Rossum.
She's a doll who's been planted there as an agent by a rival dollhouse.
Yes. Yeah.
She's the perfect secretary.
And she is actually drugging the tea. to keep them all compliant. Somehow.
Maybe that's how they start developing personalities. Maybe everyone's been drinking the tea and someone cuts off the tea supply and start developing your personalities.
Wow.
Join us to find out what's in season 2's tea.
And send us something, people. What's in the... Let me get this right. What's in the tea at gmail.com. So all lowercase, what's in the tea. Or you can just find me on Twitter, Gemma Zoe. No, that is that my thing? Yeah, it's Gemma Zoe. Z-O-E-Y. Yeah, send something. It would be nice. Just because I know that there are some of you out there listening. Just a hello. Don't be nasty. We're just people waffling about a TV thing. But it'd be nice to hear from you.
There are two flowers in the vase.